the front of the coffee bar proclaimed that it served pizza, buffalo wings, hamburgers, and an assortment of other American food items, all written in English. Anya's mouth watered at the thought of some wings, but she thought it might be better to stick to something a little less messy. There was nothing more attractive on a first date than hot sauce smeared all over your face. A line of Honda motorcycles that had been decked out with detailing and every latest gizmo available dominated the area immediately outside the coffee shop. At least 10 of them vied for space in what should have only accommodated half their number.
Nice bikes.
If only their owners were that quiet. But come on, let's eat.
The hostess inside greeted them with a bow, and as Anya looked the place over, she couldn't help but marvel at how things in Japan could be so foreign and so familiar at the same time. There was an old-style neon jukebox, except this one had an LCD screen instead of push buttons. Movie posters and surfboards were plastered on the walls. Diner-style booths with bright red naugahyde cushions and laminate tables reminded Anya of the 1950s-style joints she'd seen back home. The hostess led them past a bunch of tables packed with Japanese teens adorned with body piercings and colorful spiked red hair. She felt their eyes roam over her body, and now wished she'd worn something less clinging than what she had on. Their waitress pointed to their table and bowed as the two sat down. The teens kept staring. More than the way they looked at her, though, she was alarmed by the way they checked Ken out. Several of them shifted in their seats, and Anya felt her own instincts buzz. Were they going to jump them? And if so, why?
Anya?
Huh? Oh, sorry.
Forget about them. They're just teppo.
I've heard that word before.
It means bullet. It's what they call the kids who have just joined a Yakuza gang. They're low-level thugs who are used for intimidation. They extort money. Some of them run small-time prostitution rings or sell drugs on the side. And tragically, most of them are dead before they're 20 years old.
That's horrible.
Stupid, more likely. None of these kids have come from the lower class. They've all been recruited from the middle class. It's very different in America, where the economics of poverty breed new generations of criminals. Here, it's a fad to be involved. And a stupid one at that.
A waitress on roller skates glided up to their table.
Konnichiwa!
Konnichiwa. I'll have a hamburger. Lots of cheese, lettuce, ketchup, and mayonnaise. Oh, and I'd like a large glass of water.
And I'll have a plate of buffalo wings and a beer.
Very good! I'll be right back with your beer.
I miss the States and come here for my wing fix. If I could get Sam Adams' beer here, I'd really be happy.
Where did you go to school?
Georgetown for undergrad. Harvard for my master's.
In what?
Partying, mostly. I was something of a nut in school. Actually, my degree is in languages, Sanskrit, Tibetan, and Nepali.
Impressive.
I had an ulterior motive for it, one we'll discuss shortly.
Their food arrived faster than Anya would have thought. She took a huge bite. The juices and melted cheese ran into her mouth.
Mmm. Oh, this is incredible. Mmm. You've got sauce on your face, champ.
Ah, so that's what was stinging.
Ken wiped his mouth, took a healthy pull on his beer, and then tore into the rest of his plate as if he hadn't eaten in a long while. Anya devoured her burger and found the fries just as tasty. She and Ken ate in relative silence for the next few minutes until both their plates were clean.
That was a great meal.
It was. How about the beer?
Sure.
Anya normally didn't drink alcohol after a fight, but she was full and relaxed and eating with a handsome man. One drink wouldn't be a bad idea. Ken held up two fingers and then turned back to Anya with a serious expression.
Now that you have eaten, I think it is time to tell you why we are here. My family line is very old, over 1,000 years in fact. I am descended from a long line of warriors. One of my ancestors was presented with a relic far back in Japan's history.
How far are we talking here?
AD 560.
You weren't kidding about a long family line. I never knew the name Ogawa stretched back that far.
Ogawa is nothing so special. It's more the lineage itself that is important. But martial arts lineages aren't normally named after people. They're instead named after an idea, concept, or even a geographical location. Forgive me, I'm sure you know all this already.
Actually, my knowledge of Japanese martial arts is fairly rudimentary.
My family's lineage is known as the Yumagakure-ru. It means hidden dream. We were employed by the regent prince Shotoku Taishi during his reign and by almost every ruler since then.
That's a lot longer than most historians would argue records have been kept.
Most historians are a bunch of academics who have little common sense about the very things they claim expertise in. They sit in dusty offices using only books to make their sometimes ridiculous claims.
I'm something of a historian myself, though. You think I fit the same mold as they do?
Tobirus!
Arigato. I don't know too many academics who would have the courage to fight for 3 hours in the Budokan. Kenpai.
Kenpai.
Besides, you're an archaeologist, and you do your best work in the field. That's your real value to me. I need you to help me find something that was stolen from my family a long time ago.
What is it?
My ancestors, for their service to Prince Shotoku, were awarded a very special relic known as the Vajra. It means thunderbolt. Prince Shotoku had the small scepter made specially for my ancestors, and legend has it that it was also endowed with certain, shall we say, mystical qualities.
What kind of mystical qualities?
Probably nothing. After all, have you ever seen anything that defied rational thought in all your travels?
Go on.
I suppose it might have been more a matter of what it represented, that it was given by a powerful ruler to my family so that we could continue to be a force for good and balanced thought against those who might use their power to prevail in an opposite direction. But its loss led to the eventual downfall of my family. Gradually, over many years, the Yumagakure-ru began to die out. I am, in fact, the last descendant.
Only you? There's no one else?
None. And now I have this incredible feat in front of me. I must find that which was stolen from my family and try to restore the Yumagakure-ru to its former glory. It's a daunting task, which is why I came to you seeking help. I believe you can help me locate the Vajra.
But it could be anywhere.
No. I think it's still here in Japan. When it was stolen, Japan was still a very closed society. I doubt the thieves would have tried to escape the country with it.
But since that time, Japan has opened up. It could be anywhere by now.
Call it a hunch, but I think it's here.
All right. I'll help you.
Excellent.
But tell me something. I don't recall ever hearing the name of the Yumagakure-ru in any of the various lineages that I do know about. If you were so well known, shouldn't there be more written about your lineage?
We were well known, respected even. But history is written only by those who hold power when it is written. And the nature of my lineage was such that historians felt we did not belong in the annals of history, that we were by nature not honorable enough to be included.
But other samurai lineages, even those that were less good than others, were included.
We weren't samurai, Anya.
You weren't? Then what?
We were ninja.
Ninja? You're kidding, right?
Not at all.
You were hired killers? Assassins? Those crazy dudes who wore black pajamas and disappeared in puffs of smoke?
History has never been kind to ninjutsu. Hollywood has done even less for our reputation. We like to say we've suffered from 1,000 years of bad press.
So you're denying that ninja were assassins?
I'm not denying anything. I'm merely asking you to reserve judgment until you know more about what ninjutsu truly entails.
I've got an open mind.
I can sense that. Anya, ninjutsu developed out of a need for specialists who understood unconventional warfare. The samurai code of honor, Bushido, explicitly forbade certain tactics for use in times of unrest. But the various warlords of feudal Japan also understood that these supposedly unorthodox techniques could help ensure their continued prosperity and success. So they would secretly employ ninja to help them achieve their aims.
And murder people.
The truth is, there were certainly some ninja families who did hire themselves out to the highest bidder with little regard to the universal scheme of totality. In that case, yes, you could say there were thugs.
But not other families?
No.
So, tell me more.
Ninjutsu is a fascinating system of martial arts. As you know, samurai who lost in battle were supposed to follow their daimyo, their lord, into death by committing seppuku, ritual suicide. Not all of them would do that. Some of them would wander on a self-imposed exile. They would set themselves up in small villages in the mountains of western Japan, Iga and Koga provinces, and there they set about trying to live peacefully with the flow of nature.
They'd become hermits?
Well, somewhat. Inevitably, the policies of the neighboring region would impact their existence. Many of these villages developed into ninja clans as a way of preserving their way of life. They would carefully attempt to influence events such that their own lifestyle and that of their children would remain unscathed as possible.
Interesting.
All right. Let me ask you this. If you could pinpoint one person whose death would save the lives of thousands of men, women, and children, would you take the step and remove him or her?
I don't like talking about hypotheticals like that.
I don't disagree with you. I would find it difficult to do as well. But those were the types of decisions that ninja jonin, leaders of the clan, had to face if they were to survive.
So they would assassinate someone if it meant saving others?
Certainly. More often than not, however, they would take elaborate pains to set up networks of intelligence operatives who would keep their ears attuned to news and information. The ultimate goal was to be able to influence events as far ahead of time as possible to avoid war and destruction. This meant ninja had to be highly skilled at infiltrating enemy provinces, setting themselves up as regular people, reporting intelligence, and, if the situation warranted it, sabotaging or assassinating key troops.
Sounds like they might have been better than samurai to have on your side.
A lot of people would foam at the mouth if they heard me say this, but many ninja were in fact samurai. There are plenty of crossover techniques and warrior ru that include elements of ninjutsu and counter-ninjutsu. It's quite fascinating.
Well, this has been nothing if not enlightening. But I've been glancing at that table of,
Teppo.
Right. I think we've truly attracted their attention.
You think so?
Yeah. They're huddled, and occasionally one of them keeps looking at us. I'm not sure, but he's probably the leader. He's got a lot more, piercings and tattoos.
Ah, if it were only that easy to tell. In any case, I'd best finish my beer then.
Wait, shouldn't we just get out of here? I mean, I don't know what we've done to...
Fact of the matter is, if we leave, they'll follow us. If they're determined to cause trouble, it doesn't matter where we go.
But we'll be outside.
Yes, but I'm much more comfortable sitting here drinking my beer.
You're an interesting guy, Ken. Anyone ever tell you that before?
Just beautiful archaeologists.
You've known many?
You're the first.